Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, barely standing 5'4" and weighing a petite 105 pounds, it's Mrs. Jolton J. Martin. And in the other corner, towering at 6'4" and weighing in at 230 pounds, it's Mr. Marvelous
This doesn't seem very fair.
Oh, honey, that hurts.
All right, dealing with disagreement in marriage, I hope it doesn't ever come to blows, certainly, but sometimes it can come to verbal blows. It can certainly come to silence and hiding out and not getting on the same page. I'll tell you what, Satan loves disagreements. They're a part of life. They're going to happen. It's a reality. But how do you deal with them in a healthy way in your marriage on this Marriage Monday? You ready? I'm Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, best-selling author, the founder of the Intentional Living Center, and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open, so call now, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. I do welcome you to Intentional Living Center here at the beginning of the week. We're focusing on disagreements in marriage. Disagreements are a part of life. And I think it's to lay it out on the table here. Let's talk about what a disagreement really is. Whenever you have the prefix, the letters D-I-S, dis, in front of anything, it really means a resisting force. When you think about it, like disrespect is what? It's the negative force that goes on when you're trying to respect one another, disrespect. Or the word discouraged, when you think about discouraged, what is that? That's the resisting force that keeps us from having courage in our life. You're discouraged. It takes away your courage. And so what is it when we talk about disagreement? Well, it's the resisting force, whatever that may be, spiritual, emotional, experiential, gender, age, whatever. But it's the resisting force that keeps you and your spouse from coming to terms and agreeing with one another. And one of the most powerful things that you can do in your marriage is come to an agreement. I believe that one of the reasons we have financial problems in our marriage is because we don't agree. One of the reasons we have parenting problems, because we don't agree. One of the reasons we have a lack of intimacy to be able to work through things in our marriage is because we don't come to an agreement. There's something powerful about agreement. And unless we're willing to problem solve together, and we have a little process that I'll talk about this half hour that'll be helpful to you, unless we can problem solve together and come to agreement, even if it's an agreement to disagree on some things, what'll happen is there'll be this constant tension that occurs in marriage. And some of you are facing that. You've been through it. And, you know, some of you just take the approach of saying, I'm just not going to bring it up anymore. So we ask on Facebook, how do you deal with disagreement in your marriage? And John, I think with a smile on his face said, I just say, yes, dear. You know, now that may be okay on things that don't matter, but on things that do matter, that isn't the solution. It can be, yes, dear, but then what? Now what? And then Angie, I think also with a tongue-in-cheek, said, I try to explain to him how I am right and he's wrong. I think we do that too. So how is it you've worked through disagreements? I mean, come on. How do you do that? What have you done? How have you been intentional in working through disagreements? Or maybe you're stuck right now. Give us a call. 888-888-1717.
Hey, Dr. Randy, this is Sonia from Alabama. Listen to your show every day in the afternoon. Just wanted to thank you for being on and for pointing out all the ways that we can be intentional. As far as our marriage goes, my husband and I, we haven't been married very long, but one of the biggest things is we go through these cycles where we'd have a conflict and we'd try to solve it, and it just wouldn't work. It was always a lose-lose situation. So recently we started going to counseling, and it has helped point out a lot of things and We've started working on lifting up our marriage and being just very intentional about making this work and doing what God would have us to do. And just wanted to say thank you and have a blessed week.
You're very welcome. We're glad to be here today and every day for you, Intentional Living. Let's go to Kara or Kara. Is it Kara or Kara?
Kara.
Kara, welcome to the program.
Hi.
What's your question on this disagreement topic today?
You know, it's more parenting. We have a seventh grader who is a horrible student, and I am stepmom, by the way. And we've spent lots of time and money on tutors and programs and everything we can think of to try to encourage him to be a better student. And we're kind of at that point where his mother and stepfather think that we're too hard on him.
Well,
I don't really know that it's a question. It's a, I need more advice.
Well, you're saying mom and stepdad. Now, are you and your husband in agreement?
Yeah.
That didn't sound too convincing.
He's more lax than I am.
All right, so you have your own expectations of how this thing should come down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they're not necessarily the same as your husband's.
I think he would take the easy way out.
All right.
And does.
Well, see, we move from it was the ex-spouse and the, you know, that's not the issue. It sounds like it's you and your husband. And I really would encourage you, Kara, to say, hey, we don't have a parenting problem here. You got a marriage problem. You got a disagreement in your marriage, not with your seventh grader. And by the way, I would just encourage you think about it as a horrible student. Boy, I'd be really careful not communicating that. I think these young people, they get a lot of discouragement today, a lot of pressure. And I find out a lot of middle schoolers and kids that are going to high school, if they can just latch on to one thing that really turns their crank, that they're excited about, that the way God has wired them, that can be very positive. But, Carol, here's the thing. What I hear is that you and your husband have a disagreement on how you're to handle this thing with your son. And I heard money come up. Does it sound like you're spending a lot of money and time trying to help him, and you're getting a little tired of it?
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, and he's saying, hey, we got to keep trying.
No, it's me keep trying and him like, well, he'll flunk. That's just the facts, and it is.
Well, I would encourage you, talk about disagreement. You want to have a happy home, got to get on the same page. You know, there's a little verse in the Old Testament that says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Amos 3:3. And as parents, man, we've got to get on the same page and understand that we're in this together. Now, in this case, having a blended family, I'm gonna say what we've said for 20 years around here. Your job is to support your husband in raising his son. And I think you need to back off and say, honey, this is, you know, your responsibility. I'm here. I'll support you. I'd put the ball in his court. It's not your responsibility to step up. And I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to say, well, if I don't do it, it's not going to get done, is what you're going to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Well, I think you need to back off with a lot of loving support to your husband and say, honey, I'll tell you what, this is causing a problem between us, and I don't want a problem between us having to do with your son. And I'm here to help you and encourage you and support you and help you do the best job you can. But here's what's happened. Your seventh grader has created a disagreement in your marriage. And if I were you, I would turn to your husband and let him take the lead. And if he doesn't, you just have to back off and support him. Ultimately, yeah. And if you want to have that relationship with your stepson, to sit down with him and say, honey, look, I know you're smart. I know you can do this. It's going to be your decision if you want to succeed or not. I'm here. I'm willing to help you. But, you know, I'm not going to stand over you. I'm not going to hover over you. I'm not going to tell you everything you got to do. I'm not going to pick up all the broken pieces of life. But if there's things I can help you with and if you need some assistance, I'm here for you because I love you. But I think the best gift you guys can give to this young man is agreement together and a lot of confidence that he can do it. And I don't hear that in your voice. I don't think you have confidence he can do it.
I think he can, but he's not been allowed to. You know what I mean? Like, everything's been done for him, and so now it's getting to the point where we don't know how to do things either. You know, like math, for instance.
Well, again, if a child needs help, we're available. Teachers, you can have sometimes tutors that step in. The parents are available. But talking about encouragement, you know, we talked about discouragement. A lot of kids get discouraged. They lose courage. Give them a lot of confidence. But I'd encourage you and your husband to get on the same page.
All right. So what is the biggest disagreement you've had in your marriage?
On how to discipline the kids and what's the right way to do that. You know, I had to tend to have a stoic view of raising the kids where my wife's was more relationship oriented. So it took us a while to come into agreement with what we should do. A long while.
The biggest disagreement we've had is trying to both meet our career goals and come together and have that be a part of both of our lives without it drawing conflict.
Boy, this is good stuff. Hey, thank you for calling, telling us what you're facing. Facebook, interesting. David makes an interesting point on Facebook. He says, personally, when asked the question here about how do you deal with disagreements in your marriage, he says, I have to admit, not very well. He says, when I stand my ground, I am usually wrong in the end. Also, when I give in, I wind up being right. All we can do is live with the decisions that we make as a couple and always try to move forward with faith and love. I think some of that is, our own perspective on things. When things are successful, not successful, I think we all sort of look at decisions and say, humanly speaking, when we make a decision my way, it's going to be right, you know. But I'll tell you what, David, I think you point out the fact that for couples, we need to sit down together and talk about decisions because life just happens. My wife and I, we're at a stage now, you know, the kids are raised, we've got grandbabies and excited about babies still to come in the weeks and months ahead. But now what? For us, in our stage, and looking at making decisions together, and I think every stage, every decade of life has new decisions, new challenges, new opportunities, but we got to talk about those things, work them through. All right, let's go to Texas. Darlene is in the great state of Texas today. Hi, Darlene.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Thank you. Appreciate your call. What's your question for me?
It's actually not a question. I'm actually in the stage of life that you and your wife are in. Me and my husband have been married 32 years. Mm-hmm. We have two grown children and four grandchildren. And one of the things that we've learned along the way is to give the other person space if it's really volatile or really intense arguing, that we allow each other to back off and have our own personal space until God can get in there and kind of get into our heads. And one of the things that we do is we pray for each other. If that happens, if we're just at a point where we're not agreeing, it's just causing more damage than good, then we'll step back for about an hour or two, and we'll just like, God, give me your thoughts on this situation. God, help him to see what you see. You know, or instead of blaming that person, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, your thoughts, your emotions are all wrong, and you need to change to suit me, we step back and say, what do you think about this, God? And every single time he gives us a solution or that type of thing. So I would highly recommend not being discouraged about ongoing battles that you seem like you're on a merry-go-round about, but actually just step back and be quiet. Just kind of say, you know, what can I hear or see differently and handle it differently? Because I think we get into these trigger modes where that person is like attacking. So we just turn them off and we're not even listening anymore, you know. So it's not being effective anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and so the control knob, how you feel about that person, you think that person makes me, or you want to blame them. But actually, they're not responsible for your happiness. You're responsible for your own happiness. And any situation or person trying to come at you, actually, it's just, if it wasn't that person or that situation, it would be another one so that you can mature your spirit and be strengthened in God.
Well, what you've done, Darlene, is you've done two things here, really important. And by the way, that's why you've been married 32 years. That's why you've made it 32 years. You did two things, and if we can get this across today on this thing of disagreements, be careful when you have a disagreement with your spouse not to take a position too soon. What I mean is you're talking about, let's say you're talking about parenting, and you and your spouse are disagreeing about, you know, your how to deal with your teenage son or daughter. And it's easy for either of us in a marriage to step up and say, well, I think we should do this, this, and this, and we take a position on it. And by human nature, once we take a position on anything, we have to defend it, right? I mean, we do that at a national level. We do it as countries. We do it politically. We do it in our faith. We do it in our community. We do it in our home and our family. And so it would be better, like Darlene is saying, hey, can we just back off a little bit, pray about this, seek God, and before we come to some conclusion on what we should do, let's agree that we want to come to a conclusion together. What happens in marriage so often is each person in the marriage, the husband and the wife, take positions that are slightly different. And then it's a matter of having to humble yourself to say, I'm wrong and you're right. Come on, let's face it. And that's hard to do in marriage. That's just hard to do. What's a lot easier is what Darlene is saying to us. Stop, pray, come to the fact that we want to come to some agreement or even agree to disagree, but we want to do it agreeably. And as simple as that sounds, I just caution you, take care in not taking a position too soon. Secondly, what you've done, Darlene, is obedience to what Paul says in Ephesians 4. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, he says. And it's easy to take disagreement, allow it to flip into anger, and in the process, it is very destructive. Fantastic. Darlene, you added much to the program today. Very intentional. Thank you. Thank you for the call. The decade of 10 to 19 is a decade of steps toward independence. The challenge of this decade is to build enough confidence about yourself to help you step out into your 20s, where we're going to talk about developing from independence to interdependence. During this decade, you're testing out the values of the family to see if they fit. This is why we see so often teens that will abandon the values of the family, because they get to be 18 or whatever and they start looking around saying, hey, that doesn't work for me. And that's when they exit, because it doesn't fit. This is the whole natural process that people go through in these years of trying to decide who they are. We start to see life not so much through our parents' eyes and our family, but through our peer group. And now with technology, boy, that's changing everything. During this decade, it's important to point out that the higher functioning parts of the brain are still developing. That's why you ever notice sometimes teenagers really make stupid decisions. Sorry, teenagers, don't take it personal, but the fact is the brain doesn't harden up until sometime a little later in the 20s. That's a teaching, by the way. I go through all the decades of life from birth right to the end of our life, and we talk about some of the challenges and opportunities of every decade. It's the October-November series. Here's the neat thing. If you're not a member and you join today, when you receive the November CD teaching, we're going to also have the October one there as a bonus, so you get both parts. Fair enough? And so thank you for standing in support as a monthly member of a worldwide passionate outreach of helping men and women, young people, live intentionally every day. And you can join us by going to theintentionallife.com. By the way, for just the next few days, we have a very special offer for everybody who will support the ministry financially as a listener-supported ministry in October. And it's the Living Word 2015 calendar, actually starting back 16 months. So when you get it, you can start right off with November. Beautiful photographs of living water around the world, different shots of water and streams and waterfalls and so on, with scripture and an opportunity to take some notes for the month, and a beautiful calendar for you to be very intentional with. I can't think of anything more intentional than a calendar when you think about keeping track of your days. It's our gift to you. Ask for it when you go online. Share the best gift you can, and just click on there. You'd like it, and we'll get it to you. But you have to do it right now this week, because this is only through the 31st. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are still open at 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Helping you to be intentional for your marriage, we are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Ever noticed how you always do some things in the exact same order? First you brush your teeth, then you fix your hair, then put in your contacts. Ow! Well, maybe the contacts first.
We're all creatures of habit, so why not make studying God's Word a habit? With the new Intentional Word one-year chronological Bible, each day you'll read about the events of the Bible in the order in which they happened.
Make God's Word a daily habit in as little as 15 minutes a day with the Intentional Word chronological Bible. Available now from the online store at theintentionallife.com.
In our social media crazed world, isn't it nice that there's a place to encourage your intentional life?
I find something new every morning when I visit.
I get great nuggets of encouragement. Some of the comments are amazing.
The Intentional Living Facebook page is here for you to help you stay intentional, to encourage you, and let you know that in your walk, you're really not alone.
It's the one place on Facebook I actually like seeing show up on my walk.
Find out what's on today's show and join the conversation. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like today.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Hey, Jill posted this on our Facebook site the other day on how she and her husband were being more intentional in their marriage. Here's what she said. Better communication and going to God more, together as a couple throughout the day, and helping other struggling couples overcome weakness. That's good stuff, Jill. Join our Facebook family today at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt. This is Intentional Living. And I'm Randy Carlson. Live intentionally. You ready? It'll change your life. There really is, you know, you got two choices. Let's simplify this. You can either live unintentionally, just getting by, doing whatever happens, you know, whatever you feel, or however you've done it, habits. Or you can choose to say, you know, I think God wants me to be a little more intentional. You do that, change your life. Talking about disagreement here, Sheila's in Texas. Hi there, Sheila.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Appreciate your call. What's your comment on this today?
Well, you know, I sit here and I listen to people having disagreements with their spouses, and, you know, I have to say, you know, I have a lot to say. I talk a lot, but disagreements between the husband and wife, you know, as long as the husband and the wife are living a Christ-centered life, the man scripturally has final say. Of course, obviously, God does, but in the household of man and woman, the man has final say. Now, I will deny this to my husband till my dying breath. But when, you know, if we have a disagreement, he has final say. Now, that is, taking that into consideration, we don't usually have disagreements because the Holy Spirit that lives within me lives within him. And if we're both in tune to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's saying, which should have dominion over every aspect of our life and every decision we make, the Holy Spirit will not contradict itself in me or in him.
Well, absolutely.
So conflict really shouldn't be happening.
Absolutely. And what you're talking about is the order that God intends. It's laid out. We should be living in an orderly society, in an orderly world. But, you know, there's a scripture that supports what you're saying, Sheila, and it's Ephesians 5:21, that we're to be mutually submissive one to another. Smart men listen to their wives and don't have to be the boss. That's not good leadership. All right, thank you, Sheila. Quickly, I only have a minute, Ray, but what's your comment on this topic from Arizona?
My comment would be is, you got to remember, you're the perfect parent for your child, and your child's the perfect child for you.
Hmm.
And you got to allow, they're a gift from God, and you got to allow them to enable you to grow and mature into what God has called you to be.
Well, when you think about it, you know, we've raised three kids, my wife and I, and now have grandchildren. The molding aspect of raising three kids was a profound experience. You know, you don't go through 25 years of raising kids, basically, without learning a lot about yourself, your strengths and your weaknesses, knowing where the stress points are in your marriage and in your own attitude and your own mind. And it's a great reminder, Ray. God gave us the family that we have. Now let's be intentional with it and thank God for it. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your call today.
This is Steve Tanner with an Intentional Citizen update. Election day is upon us. Will you vote? Are you ready to vote?
By that I mean, do you know anything about the issues? Kathy Herod is a family policy advocate and president of Center for Arizona Policy. She says you can get lots of great election information from your state's Family Policy Council.
The Family Policy Councils were birthed out of Dr. James Dobson's concern for what was going on in states directly impacted families. What he saw through his counseling ministry was how public policy impacted families. And so he was the father of this movement, in a sense. So we have Family Policy Councils in about 37 states. We are not tied together legally or financially, but we're all there because we believe God has called us to be a voice for biblical principles in the public arena.
CitizenLink is a great resource to help you connect with your state's Family Policy Council and access their voter guide. We link to it at the highlights page at theintentionallife.com. Be an informed voter and an intentional citizen. For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, Kathy. And, you know, our home, our center is in Arizona. And as Kathy mentioned, these policy organizations are in, what, 30 states, I think she mentioned, around the country. It happens to be in Arizona. It's CAP. It's called CAP, Center for Arizona Policy. And Kathy and the team do an excellent job. And, you know, this is election time. We've already voted. We do mail-in, where we mail in our vote. They had a policy guide there, voter's guide, that was very helpful in understanding the candidates and some of the propositions and different things to understand what's going on. That was very helpful. And so pray about it. As Christians, we need to take an active role in knowing what the issues are, who the candidates are, what they stand for, and then voting. We have the right to do that. Not all cultures and generations have had that. Many of our parents and grandparents and great-great-grandparents in different places around the world didn't have the freedom that we have today, even though we're concerned about what's going on in this country. Let's do more than wring our hands and be concerned. Let's take an active role in expressing our right to vote. That's important. So we encourage you to do that. All right, this has been good today. We're talking about disagreements in marriage. Again, I think the message that comes through on a topic like this is work from disagreement into agreement, whatever it takes. You got to hear each other. You got to focus on problem solving using prayer, scripture, good counsel if needed, outside counsel, perspective, and sometimes even compromise, saying, hey, I'll agree to disagree on some issues with you, and that's okay. You know, that's an okay thing to do, as long as we don't do it with a bad attitude. So don't blow it off if you have a disagreement, especially if it's a big issue. Work it through. Your marriage needs it. Your children need it. We all need it as followers of Christ to come to an agreement in our marriage. If we've got you thinking about that, fantastic. How about friendships? That's an upcoming topic as well from Intentional Living. And what do you do when your kids don't respect you? If you feel like they don't respect you, how do you handle that? Some real practical stuff from the Intentional Living Center in the days ahead. We'll see you next time.